Welcome to the British Society for Heart Failure podcast series. I'm Maggie Simpson. This podcast focuses on the need for increased awareness of heart failure and the F-Word campaign. I'm delighted to be joined today by Dr. Simon Williams and Caris Barton. Simon is a consultant cardiologist at Wythenshawe Hospital in South Manchester and chair of the British Society for Heart Failure. Caris is a heart failure nurse consultant at Imperial College Healthcare Trust London and chair of the British Society for Heart Failure Nurse Forum. So thank you both for joining me today. So as there will be a range of professionals and members of the public listening into this podcast, Caris, could you begin by explaining to the audience what we mean by heart failure?
So heart failure is a complex syndrome with signs and symptoms such as shortness of breath, fluid retention, usually showing in sort of leg swelling and also extreme tiredness. It's caused by a structural or functional abnormality of the heart, and that leads to reduced cardiac output. So in other words, less blood being pumped around the body. It can be caused by many things, very commonly previous heart attacks, high blood pressure, heart valve disease, genetic issues, viral, metabolic. It can occur in pregnancy or after pregnancy. I could go on, but sometimes we just never get to know the cause of it. On some occasions. So the symptom burden can be significant, especially if not diagnosed early and managed by specialists. It's often called the final destination of most cardiovascular disease.
Thanks, Caris. Now, recent data from the British Heart Foundation suggests that there are 7.6 million people in the UK living with heart and circulatory disease. Now, we often hear about the impact of heart attacks and stroke on patients and healthcare services. But what is the impact of heart failure on health and social care and for people who live with heart failure?
Heart failure is a really big problem. So just under a million people in the UK have heart failure. There are around 200,000 new cases of heart failure every year. And if you think about it and compare it to the common causes of cancer, 200,000 is a bigger figure than the four commonest causes of cancer combined. So heart failure is a real societal problem. It's almost epidemic, I would say, in the UK. And the reason for that is the fact that people are living longer. People are surviving an MI with the advent of primary angioplasty. So our interventional cardiology colleagues are keeping people alive, and then we look after them for their life. And the general population is aging, and we're getting better medicines for all sorts of medical problems, and people are living a longer life. And heart failure is more prevalent the older you get. We all know, and we've all got patients that are, you know, heart failure can occur in childhood as well. So if I look at a spread of my clinic ages are between 18 and 100. So it's a real big problem for all ages, but it is a disease of worsening age. And because it's such a big problem, it costs the NHS a lot of money. It's probably estimated that 2% of the NHS budget is spent on heart failure, and that includes admissions to hospital, which are costly. It's estimated there are around 65,000 unplanned admissions to hospital with heart failure. A lot of those admissions are for people that present for the first time. If you look at the bed days taken up in the NHS per year, heart failure care takes up around 5% of those bed days. So it's really problematic and has a massive impact in not just society, but also to the NHS budget.
So the impact of heart failure on the person is significant. The symptoms of heart failure can be incredibly difficult to live with for patients and their families, as I say, especially if not diagnosed and treated quickly. I mean, imagine not being able to breathe properly, feeling like you're drowning if you lie down in bed at night, having no energy to spend time with your family, difficulty working. On top of this, you might have difficult mobility due to all of these things, but also fluid-filled limbs, and frequent urgent urination due to the medications that we give that really can be quite debilitating as well. It's often called an invisible illness. So as to the outside world, it can appear like everything is absolutely fine. And that increases the challenges, I feel, for people living with heart failure, as others can have expectations of them that are greater than they can actually achieve. People living with heart failure often do not have the same resources offered to them to manage, as even with health within health and social care systems, the impact is often not understood. It can affect anyone at any age, race or sex. It just doesn't discriminate. I think it's important to say as well that despite heart failure being as malignant as most cancers, people generally just don't know about heart failure. I certainly know that people within my immediate circle will know about it, but outside of it, they definitely don't know about it. We know that in the public as well, there was a recent survey that showed that people just don't have a general awareness of heart failure. There was a survey done that showed that even the people that thought they knew a fair amount about heart failure, less than half were actually able to recognise the definition. So we know that actually that the awareness is very poor in the public eye.
So there is no doubt that from the information you've both provided that heart failure should be a national priority, both in terms of health service resource to diagnose and treat heart failure, but also from a public awareness perspective to enable people to recognise the symptoms of heart failure and understand what it might be like to live with heart failure for those who have been diagnosed. Now, the British Society for Heart Failure have launched the F Word campaign. Now, Simon, could you give us an overview of the campaign, please?
So the F Word is a very important campaign, I think. For years, the public have been aware of symptoms of cancer. And every time I go into a pharmacy, I see posters saying, if you've noticed blood in your wee, please let your doctor know. It might be cancer. It's probably not, but it's good to get checked out. If you've had a cough, and we've heard the stuff on the radio recently, if you've had a cough for more than 3 weeks and it's not COVID, it could be cancer. Go and get yourself checked out. As we've said before, heart failure, the prevalence of new diagnosis of heart failure is more than all these common cancers put together. But the public are unaware of the symptoms of heart failure. And that's not the public's fault. I think that in part is our fault as healthcare professionals who know about heart failure, not getting the message out there. But I think it's time now to let the public know about the symptoms of heart failure. And we need to collaborate with healthcare commissioners. We need to collaborate with other healthcare charities. We need to collaborate with big charities such as the British Heart Foundation, who've successfully run campaigns in the past 10 to 15 years on diabetes awareness, stroke awareness. In fact, there's a big campaign, the FAST campaign at the moment on stroke, and also partner up with the politicians. So the F Word is a campaign to make the public aware of those symptoms. And those symptoms we have to simplify. So the F Word runs throughout the campaign. So the symptoms we would say to the public to watch out for are fighting for breath, both at rest or when you do things, or at night, waking up at night, gasping for breath. So fighting for breath, there's one F. The second F is filling up with fluid. So people experience ankle swelling, but it can also the lower legs, the whole of the legs can swell up, the tummy can swell up. Some people describe their face swelling up or their hands swelling up. So retention of fluid, filling up with fluid, and fatigue as well. So tiredness is a very common symptom. Fatigue is a real problem in heart failure. People are absolutely exhausted. They can have a good night's sleep and still feel exhausted. And that's one of the big things that my heart failure patients can complain of, is fatigue. So the F Word centers around the three big symptoms of heart failure. And essentially we're asking, and we're running several campaigns throughout various media platforms. So podcasts like this, social media, and hopefully into the national media, into more conventional media streams like TV and newspapers.
That's an impressive campaign, and clearly a multi-pronged approach is required with collaboration, as you've highlighted, to reach the public, healthcare professionals and policymakers. Now, Caris, the F word is not limited to the symptoms of heart failure, fighting for breath, fluid buildup, and fatigue. What else does the campaign highlight?
So the BSH wants to encourage everyone to join in this F word movement, and that means, you know, freedom from fear about talking about heart failure, because we know the word failure doesn't sound very positive, but we need to talk about it openly. We need to get freedom from the ignorance about the condition, and hopefully freedom from some of the symptoms if we can get to patients early on. And actually, the long-term goal here is, you know, with successful prevention of what causes heart failure in the first place, we will have freedom from heart failure. Certainly from the Nurse Forum recently, we've put out some articles regarding the F word campaign and heart failure generally, because we know that we need to work more closely with our generalist colleagues and our colleagues in primary care. And actually, our primary care colleagues are really at the coalface of this, and we really need to engage and get their support and help with recognising this. So we need to get others involved to help us with the F word campaign. We need a whole new level of public awareness and recognition of heart failure and its common symptoms. So those three F words, fatigue, fluid buildup, and fighting for breath. And we need to improve outcomes for our patients by raising this awareness, but also reduce the strain on the healthcare system.
Now, you mentioned closer working between primary and secondary care. Could you expand on why increasing awareness of heart failure and developing these collaborative working relationships between primary and secondary care is so important?
So currently 80% of heart failure is diagnosed in hospital, and that's despite 40% of patients having symptoms that could have triggered an earlier assessment when they'd been to see their GP, for example. And we know that patients admitted to hospital with heart failure do worse. So it's really important that we get to these people before they get admitted to hospital. If those patients had had a blood test called a BNP or an NT-proBNP when they first presented at their primary care physicians potentially, or even their nurses, with some breathlessness, for example, that could have triggered an earlier specialist assessment with a heart failure specialist. So that NT-proBNP could indicate whether they need to be referred on for echo. And then if they have their echo that shows that they do have heart failure, they then get seen by the specialist who can initiate the specialist therapies.
Now, you've both highlighted throughout the podcast that early access to specialists and heart failure therapies are essential and core components of the campaign. What are these therapies, and why is access to specialist care beneficial for the patient?
We know from all the trials over the past 30 years that drug therapies with heart failure, so ACE inhibitors, then beta blockers, ARBs as an alternative to ACE inhibitors, MRAs, ivabradine, and more recently, sacubitril valsartan and the SGLT2 inhibitors. And on top of that, device therapy, all those things confer a better prognosis. These therapies make you live longer and live better with improvement of symptoms and stop you going into hospital. So it's really important that the diagnosis is early, because people can be referred to a specialist and get on the right drugs that will make people live better and longer. And there is also overwhelming data to suggest that if patients are under a heart failure specialist, and that could be GP with a specialist interest, it could be a heart failure nurse, it could be a consultant cardiologist, it could be a care of the elderly physician with a specialist interest in heart failure, they do better, both managed in hospital and also in the clinic environment. So the key message here is that if you have symptoms of heart failure, or if you're a healthcare professional and you have patients who have symptoms of heart failure, ask for the blood test, get an N-terminal proBNP level, and get referred in to see a specialist who can place you on the appropriate therapies.
So is heart failure recognised as a priority within national policy or healthcare frameworks?
So that's a great question. I think it probably isn't at the moment, but we are getting there. I think that it's probably recognised more now than it was 5 years ago, certainly than it was 10 years ago. However, there is a lack of awareness around politicians and policymakers. The BSH have hosted various parliamentary campaigns to try and make the parliamentarians aware of it, to try and get heart failure at the forefront of policy. and also patient charities such as Pumping Marvellous and Cardiomyopathy UK and healthcare professionals. So I think the F Word campaign will, if we make the public aware of heart failure, this can also drive awareness amongst commissioners, policymakers, and parliamentarians. This isn't just a quick campaign for Heart Failure Awareness Week 2021. This is a campaign that will run over a five-year period. And hopefully in 5 years, there will be, when I go into my local pharmacy, a poster saying, if you are filling up with fluid, fighting for breath and fatigue, please see your GP, you could have heart failure.
So it's very clear what we want the public to know to facilitate early recognition of symptoms of heart failure and access to heart failure specialists and treatments. What do you both want healthcare professionals to know and policymakers to know about heart failure?
I would like the healthcare professionals, and I think as healthcare professionals, we are aware of heart failure. However, I'd like primary care to be more aware of the symptoms of heart failure. You know, we've already said that, you know, depending on what trial you look at and what registry data set you look at, up to 80% of people with heart failure present as an acute hospitalization. So I would like to reduce that by making healthcare professionals more aware of the diagnosis, making them aware that there is a simple blood test that they can do to look into some, if somebody has heart failure, and refer on to a specialist service. I'd also like healthcare professionals to be aware of the fact that if they are managing people with heart failure, to refer to a heart failure specialist, because, you know, the healthcare professional could think that that patient has optimal care. They could be on an ACE inhibitor, a beta blocker, and an MRA. And you know what? 5 years ago, that was optimal care. But we know now that there are newer agents that improve longevity. So if you have somebody, if a healthcare professional has somebody that's stable, who they're looking after, refer them to a specialist. The specialist may be able to change their medication to give that patient a better outcome. And I'd like the politicians to be aware that this is a big issue, with nearly a million people suffering from heart failure, and get behind public awareness campaigns so we can get people diagnosed earlier. I think the other thing that we haven't talked about is that we need more heart failure specialists. We need more investment and funding into heart failure, into the joined up services in heart failure. So the collaboration between primary, secondary and tertiary care. Certainly in my area, we have a community heart failure service, but it's not particularly joined up with secondary care, and it's not particularly joined up with tertiary care. And we need more investment in that to make that work. We all need more specialist nurses. Work by the BSH in recent years with Jane Masters and her colleagues have highlighted the need to maybe double the number of specialist nurses per head in the UK. So I think the message to the politicians and parliamentarians is that we do need some more funding, because we need more specialist services to reduce the waiting time that people have to see the specialist so they can get on the right treatments.
Yes, yeah, so obviously, as a heart failure nurse, one of the most important things for me is that we get more heart failure nurses who are really well evidenced to sort of take care of patients with heart failure, improve their outcomes and optimise these medical therapies that we know make such a difference. And one of the things that the NHS long-term plan does talk about is having access to more heart failure nurses, especially in hospitals where we know that if you're seen by a heart failure specialist outside of a cardiology ward, your outcomes are much, much better. So for me, one of the priorities here and with the NHS long-term plan is to have more heart failure nurses and access to those specialists that can make such a difference.
Thank you both for taking the time to highlight why heart failure is a priority, both from a service and patient perspective, as well as the role we can all play in ensuring patients receive timely diagnosis, optimal treatment to aid longevity and quality of life, and in raising awareness of heart failure. If you would like to know more about Heart Failure, the F Word campaign, or the British Society for Heart Failure, you can follow us on Twitter or go to our website at www.bsh.org.uk. Thank you for joining us.